Well, hello, patrons. We're just talking about post-apocalyptic society right now and how Roger will be the most ruthless one, stabbing people in the back for their rope.
Don't live in his commune unless you're willing to give up a certain bunch of rights.
I'm sorry I wasn't recording this. The conversation started talking about currency and fiat currency, and I started talking about hunter-gatherers and how they didn't have currency and how the only trade they did was with other tribes, you know, rope for knives. And then Roger talked about what you do is you get the knife and then you stab them and you take your rope back. And it all...
That's how it works in that society.
And then everyone decided we are definitely not going to have Roger on our team after the apocalypse.
Although he may be the only one to survive.
Yeah, he might. Yeah, we're all going to die somehow because we'll
probably
have
at Roger's
emotions. Roger will just be back there like, I don't care.
There's going to be, it's like if this were a television show, there'd be one moment where suddenly we get captured and we realize we get taken to the person in charge. We realize it's Roger. Yes. I know him.
And then I've got a knife and Roger's like, I'll give you some food and water if you give me that knife. And I say, no, remember on that pre-show for DTNS when you said you were going to like take the knife and stab the guy?
But see, the great thing is you would then starve or dehydrate and I would get the knife.
That's the great thing. That's the great thing. Okay. I don't feel like that's the great thing about that story for me.
Well, that would be no. See, that in the story, it would be a measure of trust, right? Like that would be the trust. Like, is he going to kill you for the knife, or is he going to let you live? Is Roger going to, you know what I mean, show his real true colors?
You're either in the circle or you're outside of the circle. You're outside of the circle, you're fair game.
But that's an opportunity. That's a plot twist. That's an opportunity for you to show
that's
that you are not.
Law right there.
Roger, what's your cool apocalypse name?
Oh yeah,
cool apocalypse name.
Yeah,
I mean, do you really need one? Can I just be Roger?
Oh no, everybody gets an apocalyptic nickname.
I think you, yeah.
Could like
give
an example?
Hardcore,
like what's yours?
Badass name.
What's yours?
Who?
I haven't decided yet.
Mine is Tap Ragland. I don't know.
Mine is the Heart Chef.
The Heart Chef. Nice.
And the Heart Chef. And you don't notice, like, does that mean he's caring and cooks for people, or does he eat people's hearts? You know, it just keeps you on your toes.
Maybe I'll use my ham radio call signal, my call sign.
WXL5?
KM6FPP.
KM6FPP.
Because then I could just be like, I'm KM6FPP. You need a ham radio licensed engineer.
And then people were like, wait, I've been communicating with you this whole time. Yeah.
Right?
Maybe if they just called me master, that will be enough.
I think mine would be, because I look very youthful, it would be the immortal.
The immortal. Well,
people would call you babyface.
I mean, your Twitter handle. Your Twitter handle would be good, Roger. Jolly Roger.
Jolly Roger.
Kind of a pirate thing.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's not very joyful, is he? Well, he's been on that
for doing that. I guess I could be Jawbone.
Yeah.
Jawbone.
And I'll be Ace Detect.
I'll be Snubs.
Snubs. Snubs. That's pretty good. Yeah.
Well, really, we've already chosen these.
Yeah. Twitter was a way to choose your post-apocalyptic.
It's very prescient, yes.
Some of the apocalypse. we're ready, apparently.
I'm ready. I have two backpacks. One in my house, one in my car. I have a gun. I have all of my stuff in a fire safe ready to go. I have bottled water. Dude, I am so ready.
You know, that's a really good point. I should have a fire safe for my earthquake kit.
You should, yeah.
Yeah.
I stick a backpack in my car that has a bunch of like the essential emergency kit stuff. And then I have one at home just in case I'm at home and I can't get to my car for some reason. And then I have the fire safe full of documents that might be important and like cloud or data backups on little hard disk drive or whatever.
Mm-hmm. No, the fire safe's a good one. I have the earthquake bag readily available with food and water. And I have the small like emergency things in the cars too. But I don't have a fire safe.
Yeah, you should get one.
Yeah.
We are so not ready for anything.
And either get a gun, or if you don't feel comfortable having a gun, go to a gun range just so you know how to use one for protection or for hunting, too, because you could totally use, like, a good rifle to shoot some deer or something.
Yes. Yeah. And also, pick a gun that's going to be useful in the post-apocalypse, yes. Not like a dirty, hairy pistol.
Well,
one where you can actually like find ammo for it.
Well, that's the thing. Like, you generally want something pretty common, very, very simple to operate, like a lever-action rifle.
Yeah, lever-action rifle is a good choice.
And then you get something where you collect, so you can collect the casings and repack the gunpowder.
Mm-hmm.
Mm, yeah.
Although really
easy to repair.
Archery would be good too. Bow and arrow.
Yes.
Well, crossbow, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
No, crossbows are really hard to set.
Are they? Yeah. See, I'm showing my ignorance there. I haven't ever used one.
I mean, like it's a like pulling back. I tried once. It's really hard. That or I'm just incredibly weak.
On the last show, I said I never shot a gun. So, and I was thinking of taking a gun safety course last year.
Yeah, but you know.
Oh, yeah, you should take one.
Yeah.
You run into the whole ammunition issue in the got to keep it. And
yes, but I think what Len's saying is just to know how to use one is.
Yeah,
is
I don't think the first time I should shoot a gun is when I'm out. Like
when he's
very
picked one up off
situation.
The ground during the apocalypse. Yeah.
Right. Remember to aim.
Yeah. Oh, I know with your aim. Heart. Don't it's you use that little thing on the top of the barrel, right?
Yeah. No, you aim with your heart. He who aims with his eye has forgotten the face of his father.
I shoot with my eyes. But no, what
you
is
look
that
through like? The gun ring and you line it up with the tip of the barrel where they have the little...
I do not shoot. I shoot with my mind.
Yeah. So that movie
I shoot with my eyeballs.
That movie did terrible. I guess it did awful.
Yeah, apparently it's pretty bad. I haven't seen it. Dark Tower.
Oh, I didn't see it either.
Wow. And everybody was so excited for that, and then it was like the next thing I heard it was just awful.
Oh well.
Yeah, but I guess this It movie is pretty hot.
They've been doing a lot of marketing for it.
Yeah.
A lot. So I hope it's good.
Well, it should be. It's just creepy. The book was creepy up until like the last couple pages. I was like, what the heck is this?
Oh, I aim with my eye. Sorry. You don't aim with your hand. If you aim
you
with
aim
your
with
hand,
your
you've forgotten the face of your father. I do not shoot with my hand. He who shoots with his hand has forgotten the face of his father. I aim with my eye. I do not kill with my gun.
With your eye.
He who kills with his gun has forgotten the face of his father. I kill with my heart. So you kill with your heart. You shoot with your mind and you aim with your eye.
Hopefully the bullet is pretty good. It goes straight.
That's good advice. Like,
the whole thing with firearms is they're really heavy. No, not a pistol, but like a rifle.
Small ones aren't.
Yeah, but then you come back to the amount of like damage you could do, which is...
Get an M9. That's what I have. It's very versatile.
You only have one gun? How many guns do you have?
Me, just one right now. But I want to get a smaller... I want to get a little pea shooter for myself. And then maybe a rifle, because I really...
Well, if you're doing like survival stuff, it's probably better just to stick with... And this is an important thing. You stick with one kind of firearm, because you want to be lugging around multiple types of ammunition.
Yeah.
Which
the
is
rifle would
probably...
be for like hobbyist and the pea shooter for hobbyist stuff, but yeah, we like the M9 because it's the same kind that like cops use. So the ammo is very easy to find. You can find it like in any stores. Other people carry it.
Or post-apocalyptically in the burned-out police station.
Yes, exactly. I'm ready for zombies. That's what I'm practicing for in case there are zombies.
I would pick up a 12-gauge. Shotgun, a standard Remington's kind of heavy, even the Mossbergs, like a Brunelli or something like that, but they're super expensive. But see, the great thing is then you have a wide variety of ammunition as long as it's a 12 gauge, go work in it. So you can use deer slugs, buckshot, you can load your own shot, bird shot, whatever.
So you've obviously shot a gun before, Roger.
Yes. I've never shot a pistol. I've shot in rifles and shotguns.
Tom, you've shot before?
I have, yeah.
So I'm the only person here who hasn't shot.
Yeah. Well, if you're ever in the area, I'll take you shooting. It's really fun.
Okay.
And it's very safe.
I want video of Shannon teaching Len about guns.
My, my daughter was going to take a gun safety class last year, and I was like, oh, I might take that with her, but I don't know why I didn't. I don't know if it just came at a bad time, or but I was like, oh, that's actually not a bad thing. I might do that.
Yeah, it's worth it.
I thought by taking it, everybody'd be like, oh, guns, ugh, scared. You know, which is like...
No, that's why you take courses.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Right. You know, but I don't know.
You're not
everybody's
in front
so anti-gun, you know.
You know,
I'm not
it's
in
kind
favor
of
using guns, personally. I think we'd all be better off if we weren't shooting each other. But,
yeah,
you know.
I agree with
they
you.
They exist, so...
That's good. It's a good platform.
Yeah.
Don't shoot everyone.
Please don't shoot each other.
And don't store it stupidly. You
yes.
Know,
oh my gosh,
don't go
that's
out of
huge.
Your way to just leave it on your coffee table.
Store it under the house with Roger's passwords.
There you go.
Also use a decent trigger lock.
Yes.
Yes.
Spoiler alert.
for heaven's sakes, never store a loaded weapon.
Oh,
no.
Please.
Dumbest
yes.
thing I've ever seen people
no.
do.
100%.
One of my friends did that. He was like, oh, yeah, I'm ready. He's like this hardcore hacker. And he goes, yeah, that day, that mm-hmm. whenever the FBI, whenever the feds come over
no,
here,
please.
I'm ready. And then he pulls out his coffee
oh,
table
no.
drawer
scary,
and he
yeah.
grabs the gun and slams it down on the coffee table. And I was like, is that loaded? And he goes, and it, yeah, of course it is. And I was
and,
just
and
like,
it goes off.
What's wrong with you?
Listen, by the time they show gosh. Up your door, I doubt you get very far by trying
that's
to
that's not
going to
help
head.
You. Yeah.
It's not.
By the way, Raleigh Loves Amazon just tweeted me, thanks for mentioning the triangle as a potential spot for the Amazon headquarters on the show yesterday. So this is the campaign is heating up.
Oh, remember how I told you I applied for the influencer thing on Amazon?
Oh,
I
yeah,
got it.
No, I got
oh, nice.
It. We haven't followed up. I got mine too. Amazon.com/shop/shops.
Shop.
Okay. Is it just single? Okay.
It's just shop. Yeah.
Shop/Daily Tech News Show. And I've got
Yay.
A few things on there now. What do you got on yours? What's yours?
Mine's amazon.com/shop/Shannon Morse. And I've got like my camera gear, some lighting equipment.
Oh, yeah. You got some lenses and
yeah.
some dead cats.
Dead
six
cats,
feet
yep.
of plastic controller extension.
Yep.
So this is stuff.
Oh, yeah. Yours is full. I need to add more stuff.
You want this is stuff that you want people to buy for you?
No, it's a storefront basically where people can go and they can just buy things that they like, and
oh.
you get a referral fee.
Oh, gotcha.
Off that page.
For years, I've had what's called an A store that they're ending in October, where I listed all the equipment that I use in the studio in case people wanted to buy it from Amazon. It was a quick reference; they could buy it whatever they want, or they, you know, the link was right there if they wanted to buy it from Amazon. So this is the replacement for that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's a good idea. I should do a bunch of like art stuff.
Yeah, you should. That would be great.
Was it Amazon influencers, huh?
Yeah.
They
I only
right
have
now
7,000 subs on my YouTube channel. So, but you have to have a YouTube channel to apply right now.
For right now, they're basing it on YouTube subscribers. They say they'll expand it to other platforms eventually to verify you. But
I wonder. Let's see, how many do I have? I know it's just so dumb. I don't even know. I should probably check. I think I have like 6,000 or something. Yeah, I've got 6,400 YouTube subscribers. Is that enough? How many do you need?
Probably. I only had 7,000 when I subscribed. Or when I applied for it. And I got in.
Do you do it through YouTube or through Amazon?
You apply through Amazon and you link them to your YouTube account.
And then they just check your subscriber account.
Yeah.
Mm.
And they review
they
it to make sure it's really your account.
Yeah. They also ask you for additional social networks if you use any. So if you link out to other ones that might have more subs,
that
maybe
might
that
help.
Helps.
Yeah.
And then they ask for your social security number.
Yep.
And then somehow it's run by Equifax. I don't know what this is all about.
Well, if you get accepted, you do have to put in your tax ID info.
Oh, right. Yeah.
So they can pay you.
So we're all screwed is what you're saying.
Yep. We're all screwed. Amazon gets hacked. We're all screwed.
It's not. It's the day's coming.
Well, we were all in Equifax anyway, right? So,
you know what? You know what? That's the weird thing. It's like if you've gotten a loan for anything—a car, a house, credit card, any kind of serious credit history—you're on there. Whether you think you are or not.
Maybe or maybe not. it's not every person who's ever been in the Equifax database, because several people have gone and said, oh, they said I'm not in the breach. So the breach didn't get all their records, theoretically, apparently. But if, you didn't need to choose to be in there to be in there.
I think that's exactly.
Yeah, that's part of the scariness
just,
of it.
Just have a farm and raise your own chickens and goats.
That's right. You know what? It's go back to a simpler life.
Yes,
where everyone time. Like this. I think this is where the conversation started about bartering. Right. So we go back. Let's simplify our lives, everybody. Let's do that right now. Let's do that.
Hello.
Hello. Hi.
Hello.
Hey. Hello. Yes, we can hear you.
You can. Okay. Good.
Good. Yeah. We haven't started the show yet either.
I know.
Perfect timing.
Dreaming.
Yay!
Hi, how are you?
Hi, Shannon. I'm good. How are you?
Good. Thank you.
I apologize for my ludicrous appearance. I am erring on the side of good sound and not on.
Oh no! You look great.
I'm not on a good background, so you know, I was just like, well, I'm doing this with the world's greatest blanket fort because it sounds really good.
Oh, that's fine. Campus.
Can you turn yourself up a little?
Maybe.
Or maybe get the mic closer to your mouth. I'm not sure.
I don't know how. Yeah, I can be more on mic and less in face.
Yeah, anything you can do to boost the volume. It's just a tiny bit.
Yeah. There might be some things on the microphone I can do. It's funny. This is like one of those like set it and forget it rigs. Like they brought it and they were basically like.
Put it closer to your mouth. Like right when you're talking, right there was getting louder. I'm not sure if that was.
What if I pumped up my DB? Did that help at all?
Yeah, a little bit, noticeably, but not.
Okay.
What do you think, Tom?
Well, I can't tell now.
Oh.
Because I stopped talking.
Yeah. There was when you were moving around. You started talking into it, and it got louder, and I'm not sure why.
Really?
Maybe it just needs to be pointed straight at. Yeah.
Oh, there you go. Nope. Maybe it's backwards.
Really? It's something.
Or maybe it's side address. I don't know.
We have to come up with Molly.
You have me all curious about whether it's backwards, because that would be hysterical if it was backwards all this time. And by hysterical, I mean some engineer installed this and. But if I'm back here, see, I think it sounds louder to you guys, but I don't hear myself at all. So clearly that is not the right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it's just that you're farther when you're on that side because of the pop screen. I think that's all it is. Right. You're closer when you're on the other side.
Oh, I see. I can move the pop screen.
Yeah, get it in a little closer. I think that'll do it.
How do you feel about this?
Oh, yeah. There we go. That's better.
Okay, good.
All right.
Look, I'm going to hide behind it.
Do you hear any annoying background noise here?
Oh, that might be me. Let me see.
Yeah.
No, from me I'm talking about.
Oh, no. I don't hear it from you, Shan.
Okay, cool. Thanks.
Molly, what's your apocalypse name? Molly Wood.
How many minutes do I have to think about that?
Done. We're about to start the show before Len dropped that bomb.
I know.
Sorry.
Murdolly.
Not bad.
I like it. Let's roll with it.
Here we go. Three.
Oh, wait. Do I have control?
Yes, you do. Three, two.
The Daily Tech News Show is brought to you by people like me, not outside organizations. To learn more, go to dailytechnewsshow.com/support.
This is the Daily Tech News for Friday, September 8th, 2017. I'm Tom Merritt. With me on this Friday is Shannon Morse. How are you? Hello.
Hello, Mr. Merritt.
It's good to have you. Len Peralta is here to illustrate the show as well.
It's good to be here.
And perhaps one of the reasons I'm tongue-tied is Molly Wood has dropped by as well.
Yay! Oh, stop, you stinker. Hello, everyone. It's so exciting.
We are going
to... I wish
to...
I had Shannon's good hair and good lighting.
It's the studio.
Girlfriend, you're crushing it.
Oh, that's fantastic. Molly Wood from Marketplace and Marketplace Tech, of course. Shannon Morse from Tech Thing, ThreatWire, and Hack5, and Len Peralta from LenPeraltaStore.com. Molly's dropping by because we're going to talk a lot about Equifax today. Right, Molly?
Oh, my God. I am just in an Equifax rage. It's possible it's some sort of last straw situation and like a whole other bunch of things have built up and I've snapped over the Equifax thing, but I have snapped.
Oh, I don't think you're the only one. So let's get right into it with a few tech things you should know. The gist of it is credit reporting firm Equifax announced Thursday that it discovered on July 29th that attackers accessed data for 143 million U.S. customers. The data included addresses, credit card numbers, social security numbers, birth dates, and some driver's license numbers. We are going to talk about this more in depth in our main discussion in a few minutes.
And the Wall Street Journal reports that the U.S. FBI is investigating whether Uber used software to illegally interfere with competitors. The focus is on software that could track Uber drivers who also drove for Lyft.
The Wall Street Journal has sources who say Facebook is willing to spend $1 billion on original video content going into next year. Apple has been reported to have a similar budget. And if you've missed the comparisons, Netflix is spending about $6 billion on original content this year, and Amazon is spending $4.5 billion.
Ooh, that's kind of interesting to me because Facebook could end up being a competitor to YouTube as well, since YouTube has a lot of their own content that they've created.
Yeah, and spending a few billion themselves.
Ooh, boy. Taiwan's Commercial Times reports its sources say Google is in the final stages of acquiring all or part of HTC. A report in late August indicated HTC was investigating a sale. HTC makes the Google Pixel phone. Yes, they do. And mine just died.
Oh, no. I don't know if that's a sign of anything.
Do you have a regular? I'm about to derail this, but man, the difference between the regular size Pixel and the Pixel XL is startling in that one of them is a good phone and one of them is not.
I have a Pixel XL and I've gotten two this past year under warranty that I had to get RMA'd because each of them died in some way or another.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Maybe they should not acquire HTC.
I know, maybe not.
Or maybe that's what HTC needs. I don't know that Google needs it. They've kind of been down this road with Motorola before.
Yeah.
They don't get patents that are valuable out of this one. I don't know. Yeah. Here are some more top stories. AT&T, Sprint, T-Mobile, and Verizon have formed the Mobile Authentication Task Force in order to develop a more secure solution for two-factor authentication. Hooray! The task force hopes to have an advanced mobile authentication solution sometime next year. The idea is to do things like analyze network activity patterns to determine if an account owner is really behind an action. The group says it will take an open approach working with app developers and other third parties. I mostly approve of all of this. I think it's great that they're working on two-factor authentication. But Shannon, is it the answer a separate authentication mechanism that doesn't require SMS?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, that's the point of having a second authenticator is so that you have one thing that you have, one thing that you know, or something biometric. It doesn't necessarily matter which choice you make as long as it's two separate things that allow you to log into some kind of authentication website.
Yeah. And I get what they're saying here, which is they'll analyze SMS to make sure there's not a man in the middle attack or that someone's hijacked your account by spoofing you and getting access to your account somehow. But maybe just don't use SMS.
Yeah, I think that's the way that everybody should go is stick to an application for 2FA instead of SMS. Moving on, Kaspersky Labs started a pop-up shop in London this week in partnership with London street artist Ben Ein called the Data Dollar Store. Shoppers in the Old Street Tube station could buy products by giving over personal photos, emails, or text messages that would be displayed on two full-length screens in the shop windows. The last three photos on your camera roll or last three text messages you got, a t-shirt. If you handed over your phone for a staff member to choose any five photos or three screenshots, you got some original artwork. Oh boy.
Yeah.
is that the same Kaspersky that some members of Congress are saying, you know, we should ban from U.S. government computers?
That would be the same one. Yes.
Just check in.
I mean, I think those are fairly spurious. Kaspersky is in Russia, and so anything that happens in Russia is going to get that kind of attention these days. This is simply a publicity stunt, right? Mm-hmm. But at the same time,
is it related? I guess that's what I was wondering.
Well, it's Kaspersky trying to say, like, hey, folks, you need to protect your personal information. You need to be aware of privacy. We got this artist who agrees with us on board. There's a lot to like about this particular publicity stunt. It's a good message. But in the end, Kaspersky would like you to sign up for their services to protect your privacy, right?
I really like the idea that they're coming for here, in the fact that it kind of reminds me of signing up for reward cards, like we've talked about on previous episodes of Daily Tech News Show, where you how much private data are you willing to give away in order to get something for free, or in order to get a discount, in this case, to get some original artwork. Like, I have personal text messages with my husband, like financial stuff that we talk about. I wouldn't want to give that away and show up on a screen. So I would definitely pass on that. But other people might be like, oh, hey, I was just talking about making dinner. I'm okay with sharing that on a pop-up shop window. So it's convenience over privacy.
I mean, it's pretty funny because when you just read it, right, when you just look at this sort of paragraph about what they did, I would imagine that most people would think, that sounds great. Maybe mm-hmm. Maybe even in the new PE, post-Equifax world that we're living in, I think people would still say, oh, original art. That's
yeah. No, it's funny.
How exciting. Is the art all about me? Because I love that.
I would easily give 3 photos off my phone for something, but not a t-shirt. I don't need another t-shirt. So that my dividing line is there, where it's like, ah, don't need a mug, don't need a t-shirt. Ooh, the original artwork? Oh, hell no. I'm not giving my phone to anyone else to look at. No. A paper in the Journal of Personality and Social Psychology from Stanford scientists Mikhail Kosinski and Yilan Wang describes a machine learning algorithm that can estimate a person's sexuality from a picture. It was trained on 35,000 images. The algorithm was able to identify a self-identified gay person from a self-identified straight person in a pair of images. So it didn't do as well if you threw 1,000 images at it and said, identify who's gay and who's straight. But if you gave it a pair and said, one of these people is straight, one is gay, so you're giving it some information, they were able to pick with 91% accuracy for men and 83% accuracy for women. Now, compared to humans, humans were about close to a coin flip on these. So it did much better than a normal human. The authors debated releasing the results at all and made it clear in their author's notes on the paper that they decided to do so in order to make people aware of what machine learning can do and the potential privacy threat there. Hmm.
That's so weird. I wonder how they based the learning off of, like, how were they able to tell one person from another? Because
yeah, so they were self-identified, so they would put a picture in there, and the machine would know, okay, this person says they're gay, this person says they're straight, and mm-hmm. then they would look at morphology, how the face is constructed, expressions, and decoration, like, you know, beard shapes and earrings and things like that, mm-hmm. and the machine doesn't have a stake in the game, right? It's just saying, can I find any things there that indicate, oh, it's probably this versus that? And it was able to do that.
The machine doesn't have a bias like humanity does. Right. And they are able to... What's that, Molly?
No, I was going to say that humanity in this case did not introduce any bias. Like, it didn't seed any into the data set any notions about gay or how gay or straight people might look. It just put in the, but I think this is, there is increasingly a conversation, a really long overdue conversation about facial recognition. You know, they were talking, is it in Korea where they were using facial recognition, mass scale facial recognition to target individual faces within train stations? And that's technology. I mean, I did a story for CNET about that. So at least 5 years ago, about how far we've come in facial recognition alone. And then when you layer on this kind of AI, yes, it is. The other thing that is notable is that it's 91% accuracy for men and 83% accuracy for women, but that's a lot wrong, right? So if you're talking about using facial recognition for identification purposes and it's wrong 17% of the time, you start to get some scary false positive.
Yeah, I mean, this is going for a particular characteristic, not full-on identification. So it's a little bit apples and oranges, sure. But you're right. Like this
only a little.
This 9% of the time was not able to tell the correct distinction. So it can have false positives. It could say, let's say someone's trying to decide who's gay and who's straight. It could say someone is gay who isn't. It could say someone who is straight who isn't. Mm-hmm. And
then they could get rounded up and shot in, you know.
I mean, who knows, right?
Russia, where are they doing that? There's the horrible.
They're not rounding up people and shooting them in Russia, but yes, there are certainly places where it's not safe.
I should be a little more accurate, but yeah, certainly places where it is very dangerous.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's so many ways to go with this story. On the one hand, it's fascinating from the perspective of being able to tell not only based on natural characteristics, but human characteristics like expressions, something about someone. That I think is great. I think there's all kinds of positive uses for that. And there even could be positive uses for it exactly in this. Don't forget also that it didn't do well at a mass amount. If you just threw all the pictures at it, it did much worse at trying to figure out who was who in there. It had to kind of be set up for success with this one or the other situation.
Mm-hmm. Also, moving on camera. Doing that in Chechnya. Googled it real quick.
Moving on, camera maker Red revealed a strategic partnership with Leia Inc., the company behind the holographic display for the upcoming $1,195 Hydrogen One smartphone. Leia is a spinoff of HP Labs. They were founded in 2014. They use diffraction to produce light field illumination with a layer of nanostructures added to a conventional LCD, supposedly without affecting battery life or display quality. The Hydrogen One is supposed to launch in the first half of 2018.
So now we know how they do it. Also, Leia, because help me, Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Yeah, I love that.
I know. That's a really good nerd shout out.
So
I'm
cute.
Still skeptical. I know people have seen it. Marques yep. Brownlee actually saw it and said, it's okay. It was a little stuttery. And of course, he's seeing a pre-release version, so it's not expected to be great. For this thing to be worth $1,200, though, it's got to work.
I'm curious if this is going to be the first step that we see towards a new technology that is used in more smartphones in the coming years, or if this is just a gimmick that's not going to last.
Yeah. No, it could be that. I mean, it could be both. It could be a gimmick that's not going to last, but point the way to the thing that actually will. Finally, Google is working with the state of Florida to mark road closures as they happen on Google Maps during Hurricane Irma. Google said it will use algorithms and manual updates. They are working hand in hand with the state to keep that information current. The closures will also appear on the Irma crisis map as part of the SOS alert on Google search. This is not a tech story, but this hurricane, as Justin Robert Young said yesterday, is no joke. It has already caused devastation on several Caribbean islands, including St. Martin's and Barbuda, and it's headed for the Florida Keys. So it's important to have resources like this. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Folks, if you want to get all the tech headlines each day in about 5 minutes, be sure to subscribe to dailytechheadlines.com. You can get it as a podcast, an Amazon Echo Flash briefing, and on the Anchor app at anchor.fm. Okay, so 143 million customers out of 324 million U.S. residents. And keep in mind that those 143 million customers are not children, and they're not people without credit histories, of which there are many. So it is a huge percentage of the United States. That said, it's not every single person that's in the Equifax database, because you don't have to be a customer of Equifax to be part of this database. They're a credit reporting agency. They have your information if you've transacted business in the United States as a U.S. resident. There's also the manner of how this was discovered. It was discovered on July 29th. It had been going on since May. There was a private investigation that is now finished, and the state and federal authorities are involved. Names, birth dates, social security numbers, addresses, and some driver's license numbers. We think the driver's license numbers are coming from dispute documents, which had more personal identification. About 182,000 of those were in this breach, and 209,000 U.S. credit card numbers were in this breach. Shannon, what can someone Yes. do if they have that information? If I'm an attacker who has exfiltrated all of this info, is it useful?
Oh, yeah. Yes, sir, it is. Obviously, there is the go figure thing where they could open up a new line of credit in your name. They could start a new loan in your name, or they could social engineer your bank and start withdrawing money from your accounts by purporting that they are indeed you. They're using your identifiable information to be able to social engineer people over the phone and stuff like that. So there is that issue. And a lot of people will probably come back and say, well, you know, you just put a credit freeze on your account. Yes, as long as they're not social engineering a bank or something like that, which will still be able to create a new, you know, bank account in your name or something, even with that credit freeze in place, if they don't check your credit. Another thing that they could do is potentially social engineer a cell phone carrier and be able to recreate a new SIM number in a brand new phone and be able to receive two-factor authentication numbers on the attacker's phone as opposed to your phone if they're able to, you know, be able to transmit that phone number over to a brand new phone. That's a serious issue, and we've been seeing that attack a lot lately. So if they, for some reason, maybe your cell phone number is out there in the public, now they have your phone number, your social security number, your address, your full name, your date of birth, they could easily social engineer a cell phone carrier employee to be able to get a new SIM card made with your same phone number and be able to steal your two-factor authentication numbers. And that's a serious problem in the last few months. Not to mention the fact that it's your physical address. People now know easily where you live. If you are a celebrity, if you're somebody who does a YouTube show, for example, if you are anybody who has some kind of figurehead, if you are out there in some way where people can find you, if they know what your name is, they could easily just start showing up at your door. There's a lot of potential for obviously the criminal issues here, but there's also potential for people to just dox you, be able to put your information up online if they wanted to. It's a really, really serious problem. And that's why we brought in Molly Wood to talk about it.
I feel like brought you to talk in because you just, you know, went ahead and scared the crap out of me, which was awesome.
Well, sorry about that.
The other thing, no, it's okay, because the other thing that's terrifying is look, I mean, we all know that these sort of identity theft bundles, right, this like one-stop shopping kit for identity theft, have been available to people for a long time. Sorry about my Slack. I'm trying to make it stop. But what is disturbing about getting all of this, that long list, all in one place, is that most of this information is the information that you would use to verify your identity if you were trying to,
right,
say, dispute identity theft or open it. I had my identity theft stolen actually not long after the Target hack. And one of the things they told me, fun fact, the bank that provides the in-store credit cards for Fry's is like a little tiny bank in the Midwest, and they're not having this crap. And so they like launched an investigation and tracked these people down. Well, one of the things they told me was that the people who'd opened up these accounts in my name had my credit history information. They were able to answer the challenge questions. So when they got a call to verify my credit, they had all that information at their disposal. Now, these hackers have that same information for 143 additional people, assuming they didn't have it already. It just goes on and on. 143
million additional people, yeah.
And did I say 143?
Uh-huh.
Million. I mean, this is, honestly, the big thing to me, too, is sort of setting aside every way that they have technologically bungled this since the almost certain insider trading of the three executives that sold stock before the information about this was revealed, is that it is absurd to me that in the United States, we do not have overarching federal laws that dictate how companies store and protect the personal information of their customers.
Yes, thank you.
We should have that. That should be there for IoT. That should just exist. Even if it didn't exist for every other company, even if it doesn't exist for Facebook, there is no earthly reason why it should not exist for credit reporting agencies. You cannot opt out of this. Credit is the foundation of your financial life in the United States. This potentially affects every single human being with a bank account or like a paycheck. And the fact that there are not bank level rules for how customer data is treated and how disclosures are handled is a crime. I did not say a bad word, but I wanted to.
I agree with you. I mean, we have seen international groups coming together and trying to start forming some kind of laws in place for IoT manufacturers, but we have not seen the same thing happening for banks and for the credit agencies. And being that Equifax is one of the largest credit agencies in the United States, there were even some Canadians that got their information in Equifax, maybe because they married somebody over here, maybe because they came over to open a bank account in the US, who knows? But it doesn't just affect American citizens, it also affects people internationally because Equifax is such a large firm.
Yeah. And these agencies just keep getting hit, by the way. This is the second time Equifax has been hacked. They had a subsidiary that did HR, payroll, and tax services. That was hacked in 2015, I think. All three big credit agencies were hacked in 2013. And there's no reason why it won't continue, because well, A, their treasure troves, and B, their security, and Shannon, you can probably attest this, appears to be hilarious.
It appears to be null. There is no security there. It's null. And the ability for somebody to come in and be able to do some kind of social engineering with this information is my biggest fear. I was giving Tom an example before we started recording where I've had to call up my bank before to verify some information with them about one of my accounts. I didn't have my bank account number on hand. I didn't have my identification number on hand, but I was like, well, can I just give you my social security number? Because that was able to verify my identity over the phone. Yes, they do have a phone password in place as well. But if somebody has gotten my information off Equifax, or if I had a publicly facing Facebook account, they could probably find that information too for any consumers, because chances are they use something that's easily memorized.
Yep.
And I don't see evidence that Equifax has been or continues to take this as seriously as they need to. Mm-hmm. You alluded to the fact that the chief financial officer, the president of Workforce Solutions, and the president of Information Solutions, all three sold stock on August 1st. That's the Tuesday after the Saturday on which this breach was discovered. Now, Equifax has said they were not aware of the breach. If the Information Solutions president was not aware of this breach by Tuesday, I think there's a problem at that company right there. If they're telling the truth, there's a problem that these three people did not know that there was this level of a breach by the Tuesday in which they sold their stock. If they did know that, as Equifax says they didn't, then there's insider trading accusations. So it's bad either way. Add to that that EquifaxSecurity2017.com, which is the good thing that Equifax did. They said, we're going to set up a site. You can go find out if you were in the breach. Whether you were in the breach or not, we're going to give you free credit monitoring for a year, all of that's great, except they ask for your last name and the last six numbers of your social security number. That leaves only three to guess, and they're running it on stock WordPress. They were actually banned by Cisco because they had an improperly unrevocable security certification on the site. And the admin's user ID was in the source code for a while. This was not properly implemented. Granted, none of these are like critical vulnerabilities, but hey, if you're asking me for six numbers of my social security number after losing 143 million accounts, I want you to be dotting the I's and crossing the T's on everything from here on out.
Well, and on top of that, oh, go ahead.
Oh, that just makes me so angry. That totally grinds my gears, is the fact that they had all these vulnerabilities with a website that they had how many months to set up since they've known about the breach before they made it publicly available, and yet they still had these vulnerabilities. Don't even get me started on the whole thing that could potentially be insider trading. However, I do not have any proof that it was such, but come on, talk about ironic timing there.
Yeah, yes. I will say it generated my most viral tweet ever. Like, you never know what's going to, you never know what's going to be a thing. Also, Zach Whitaker from ZDNet reporting that if you enter test and 123456 on Equifax's hack checker page, it says your data has been breached, because it would appear that that site, which Tom really generously characterized as a good thing, it would appear that that site only exists to enroll people in Equifax's credit monitoring service, their own, by the way. They did not even go to a third-party credit monitoring service, which at this point I think is almost required. And when you sign up for that service, the terms of service say that you agree not to sue them or be part of a class action lawsuit, which the New York Attorney General's office is already demanding that that language be removed, because A, it's insane, and B, it's unenforceable.
Yeah.
It just goes on and on and on with this company.
I did try this site out, and it told me I was not breached. So it obviously is checking something, because it's returning two different responses depending. The fact that test is breached is hilarious, because it really is just reading directly out of the database. I'm sure there's a test entry in the database that got exfiltrated. And the other thing is, they have added opt out information to their terms of service, saying you can, in 30 days of writing to Equifax, opt out of that arbitration clause and go back to being able to sue them or go to small claims court with them. But as you said, Molly, I think that not only the New York State's attorney, but probably a lot of state's attorneys are going to make sure that these terms of service are unenforceable no matter what.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there was a great headline today that said that the Equifax hack is essentially the only thing that has generated an outpouring of bipartisanship I mean, they're talking about congressional hearings. It's everybody from, because look, this is like, we have arrived over and over at the worst case scenario, right? But this is the time when we have really arrived at the worst case scenario. This is the inevitable response. I mean, regulation of credit reporting agencies was totally watered down, if not almost stripped out of the 2014 Dodd-Frank regulations after the financial crisis. Like, this is the inevitable conclusion of companies that are out of control, because I want to do a whole thing on credit agencies in particular, right? This is such, it's always been a black box. They hold the strings to your entire life. There is no transparency and apparently no accountability either. Equifax's stock, part of the reason these guys, like, the most generous interpretation of the stock sale, I sound so marketplace right now, is that they were within their quarterly window to sell.
Yeah.
So
sure.
The quarterly window opened on August 26th. They sold on August 1st or July 26th. They sold on August 1st. Like, it's possible that they were even informed that there was a breach. Somebody had this all in my Twitter. Like, there are probably many, many, many hack attempts all day, every day, against Equifax. So maybe best case scenario, they had been informed that there was a breach. They didn't know how serious it was. They were within their quarterly window to sell. And why wouldn't they sell? Because the stock has tripled in the last few years.
Yeah.
Tripled. These guys are making money hand over fist, just frankly holding every consumer in America hostage.
I mean, I could make that scenario work. Your window opens on the 26th. You file the paperwork on Friday before you head out on the weekend. It doesn't get executed until the following Tuesday, right? That could happen. On the other hand, if 143 million, if you're aware, now Equifax says they weren't aware, let's be clear on that, but if you were aware, yep, 143 million would be enough for you to go, maybe I should stop that sale because that's not going to look right.
If you're a company with a sense of fiduciary responsibility and accountability to your customers, then you stop any sale of any stock by any executive within that company. You freeze it immediately once you find out that you've been breached. But this is these are companies that don't care. I mean, it has been a trend in America for a long time, but in these ones, they don't care.
I have a question. By just checking if you have been affected, are you opt out? Can you opt out of that? Or are you already saying that you, by checking, you cannot sue
well,
them?
You can still opt out after 30 days now, no matter what. But yeah, the words were, if you purchase a product or register for a product, you have waived your right to sue and you agree to arbitration. I don't know that checking is registering, but that would be a matter for a court of law, I guess.
Right.
Yeah, my sense from reading through that was that it wasn't just checking. Because what happens is you check, you get this vague language. If you have been, it says, oh, it looks like you may have been affected. Continue on with registration for our product.
Yeah. And I think so. I think you're probably on the right side.
We'll then probably auto charge you after a year.
Yeah. Right.
So wait, if you don't follow through the registration, or have you registered? You know, for example,
again, matter for a court of law and whether Equifax wants to fight it. Yeah. Good question.
Because
you probably have to check a terms of service, and once you check that
terms of service are linked at the bottom of every page, and you agree to them by using the site. So you're already in.
Yeah.
I mean, I think you're already in, and that's what Zach Whitaker was reporting, and his reporting is outstanding. And yes, I mean, those are the terms of service of the page. Yeah. You know?
Lock your credit.
We should probably mention as well, just like Roger said, how to protect yourself after this kind of breach does happen, because there's only so much faith that we can put in companies to protect our data. And us as consumers need to make sure that we're putting in way more effort than the companies are to protect our own data, because they don't care. A lot of times with companies, we are a number. We are some kind of way for them to make profit. For us, we have the most value for our own lives. Way more than anybody else will. So make sure that you're freezing your accounts. If you do have credit with Equifax or with TransUnion or any of the large agencies, make sure that you are freezing all of those so that nobody can open up additional loans or additional credit lines in your name. Also make sure that you are using good internet hygiene as well. Just, you know, use password managers, use two-factor authentication if you can. And if you do have things that you're worried about with social engineering attacks, make sure that the websites, the accounts that are most valuable to you, make sure you're using proper internet hygiene for those too. And maybe even call up the agencies and change your phone passwords or change your two-factor authentication, change your PIN codes. Just do whatever you can to update that information so that the information that was leaked might possibly be old. Obviously, I don't expect anybody to physically move addresses, but there are some things that we can do as consumers to update our information and to freeze the lines of credit that are currently out there.
That's good advice.
Do that
for
online.
Heaven's sakes, if you use any kind of social networking or media account, don't load it with your personal information.
Yes.
Don't put address. Don't put your phone number. Like, it's...
Don't take that a picture of your flight details, because those QR codes are easily hacked.
Or your driver's license. Yeah.
Or your driver's license, yes.
Hey, thanks to everybody who participates in our subreddit and helps us keep up on these. We had a lot of great links about this story in our subreddit today. Go check them out, dailytechnewsshow.reddit.com, and our Facebook group, facebook.com/group/dailytechnewsshow. We just have one more email before we're out of here, but Molly, I know you're working on a deadline. Do you need to jump?
Although slacks were about, I do have to scamper. But before I do, I hope you'll all listen to my not at all competitive show. As of this week, I just finished my first week as host of Marketplace Tech, the radio broadcast. And we have a podcast, and it is, as someone asked me on Twitter, could that be called a Daily Tech News Show? But it's a very different approach. Whereas Tom keeps you updated on the actual events of every single day, practically in real time, because you guys are amazing with the subreddit and the communication with Tom. This is more of a dot connecting kind of show. It's a trend show. It's
complimentary
ideas. It is complimentary, exactly. So I think hopefully if you listen to them both, ideally back to back, you'll get everything you need. But please subscribe to the podcast and leave us a review.
Thank you, Molly Wood, for jumping in today. It was great having you.
Thanks for letting me rant, because, God, you guys, I am heated.
We needed a Molly rant on this one.
I think everyone angry. They're like, well, who do we get to berate and browbeat and get something done? And a lot of people are just for...
As usual, no one.
Molly, thanks again. And if they want to subscribe to Marketplace Tech, where should they go?
Go to marketplacetech.org, and then you can also, of course, subscribe on iTunes and all the places you podcast. Except at the moment, Google Play, which I'm having a big, huge fight about.
Oh, man, tell me about it. I had issues with other podcasts, too. So,
it's the tricky one. So everywhere currently, except for Google Play, and I'm sorry about that, and I hope to get it worked out soon.
You can manually add it to your Google system.
Yes.
But you just got to know how to do that. All right, thanks again, Molly.
It's not my favorite.
Bye, Shannon.
Bye, Ryder.
Bye, Len.
Bye.
Now, I'm sorry that that Molly had to go, because in our analyst Slack today, Ohioan Big Jim Thatcher, pointed out a bipartisan bill. We were just talking about bipartisanship. A bipartisan bill in the Ohio Senate to make $100 million available to expand broadband to some of the 300,000 rural Ohioans without broadband access. So far, so good. For 2 years, interested groups, and they're targeting this at nonprofits, community groups, et cetera, civil organizations, could apply to the state's Third Frontier program. That's a loan program that the state has operated for a while. And you could receive $5 million in grants to help subsidize the cost of an internet infrastructure rollout. And you'd have to show that no commercial service could be or is planned to be brought to an area. There's a lot of restrictions. It's really meant to help people who otherwise would not be able to get broadband. The groups can be free to install it themselves. There's no restriction saying they have to hire somebody else to build it, or they can partner with a telco to build it if they want to. Lawmakers estimate that 14,000 households could receive broadband under the plan. So it's not going to cover all 300,000, but it's going to make a start. This sounds great, but Jim pointed out that the senators are promising no new taxes would be needed for this funding. He supposes that that means that the Third Frontier program would have to take its existing budget and reallocate it. So money used for other programs by Third Frontier would be either reduced or eliminated. And what worries him about that is, among those other programs are two opioid abuse programs. And there was just a thing today that heroin use in the United States is skyrocketing by hundreds of a percent. This is a huge problem, not only in Ohio, but all across the U.S. So Jim said, well, wait a minute, who sent me this email about this program? And I've checked it out. Cleveland.com has a story about it. It's not a spam email. But Connect Ohio, which is quoted in the Cleveland.com article about this, is campaigning for the bill. Connect Ohio is a subsidiary of Connect Nation, which counts among its advisory council AT&T, Comcast, U.S. Telecom, Verizon, and the CTIA, also Microsoft. I'm not saying that Connect Ohio or Connect Nation are in some way nefarious, but it definitely is a play to get some money headed the telco's way in order to roll out rural broadband. Now, I don't have a problem with that. If you want to take some money and say, hey, we know you wouldn't do this otherwise, we're going to give it to community groups who will decide where it goes, and then you guys will benefit because they may need to hire you to run this, right? That's fine. But if it's taking it away from opioid abuse, that would be a problem. So Jim's like, that is the question. He's like, I don't know who to ask and where to get an answer on how they're going to get this money without raising taxes. But it was a really good investigation by Big Jim into this email that he got to be like, well, hold on. How is this going to work?
That's really interesting. I'm glad he also brought up the fact that they said no new taxes would need to be increased, which honestly, I know it's an unpopular opinion, but I feel like if it's going to help the entire state, something like broadband access, which I come from a very small town where we didn't have that. We had dial-up for a very long time, and it was the worst thing ever when you're in high school and you have dial-up, but it was... Anyway, besides the fact, I'd be okay with a slight raise of taxes if it meant that I would receive much faster internet, which in the long term would probably benefit a lot of people in their near futures for their jobs, for schooling, for education, anything like that, because so much information is now available on the internets that is very hard to access if you don't have a good internet speed. Really curious about... how this is going to be financed, the fact that he thinks it's coming from Third Frontier, but of course that isn't proven yet.
Well, it is so coming from Third Frontier. That part is in the proposal. The bill text has not been put out, so we don't know. Well, is this because Third Frontier is retiring maybe one of its entrepreneurial programs, right? And so it'll have some extra money and they won't have to raise the budget. That could be a perfectly innocent explanation. We're sunsetting this other program that people weren't really using and it was a waste of money anyway. The opioid abuse program is not going to be touched, right? That could be the answer, but we don't know that's the answer.
We don't know.
And it's always suspicious when someone says no new taxes. Okay, but where is that money coming from? Because that money was being spent on something before, and it's not going to be spent on that anymore. Len, I'm actually curious if, you know, you're in Cleveland, the Cleveland area. What do you think about this?
I haven't heard anything about it. This is the first time I've heard about it. I know that there are cities that are trying to get broadband for every city, but I haven't. This is the first I've heard of it. So,
we'll keep an eye on this. I know Big Jim will be keeping an eye on this for us as well. So we'll let you know if we find out an answer to that question. Meanwhile, we got a sneak peek there on the video of what you've been drawing, Len.
Yeah, you know, I, along with Molly and everybody else, are pretty upset about this. I don't know if this drawing is upset enough about what went on with Equifax over the past couple months. But this is about as editorial as I get with my cartoons. The cartoon is, of course, a kind of older CEO, Equifax CEO, who is having a historically awful security breach pushed into his face by a U.S. consumer, and the U.S. consumer is saying, well, according to this, your credibility score is hosed, along with all our personal data. And I think that's how it's... that's how I feel about it.
Man, this is editorial cartoon level stuff here. This is really good. You could see this in the Sunday paper.
Yeah.
If there were still Sunday papers.
I have to give a shout out. It was Nora who came up with the credibility score thing.
That's good.
Well done, I thought, Nora. Oh, that's really funny.
Yeah. So go check this out, folks. LenPeraltaStore.com.
Yes, you can get it right now at the store. Or you can, if you go to my Patreon, patreon.com/Len, become a DTNS lover level, and you get these all as high-res images.
Ooh. Go check it out, LenPeraltaStore.com, and take a look. This is a good one. You're not going to want to miss it. Shannon Morse, thank you as well. What else do you have going on?
Thank you, Tom. Yeah, that was a super fun main discussion topic today. I loved it. I always like getting into security stuff. But most recently this week, I did this great episode of Tech Thing, which you can find over at techthing.com or youtube.com/techthing. I brought in all of my cameras and I talked about camera sensor sizes. It's kind of mysterious how these cameras work if you are not into photography, but it's really important even from a consumer mindset of how they work as far as lighting conditions and stuff like that. So it was really fun to get into and educational. So I hope everybody will check it out. And if you enjoy it, please subscribe to our YouTube channel. It really helps out.
Excellent. Go check it out. And thank you to everybody who gives a little value back to this show for the value they get out of it. You know, Adam Curry and John Dvorak over there at No Agenda pioneered that message of value for value. And we think it's a great one. So we live on it here. We'd like to increase the value we give you, and we have an old friend to tell you a little more about it if you haven't heard that yet.
Hey, DTNS patron, Sarah Lane here. I've been waiting for Tom Merritt to ask me to join the show for some time now. Now we have a great idea. When we hit the $20,000 milestone on Patreon, I will join Tom as a regular co-host alongside the rest of the DTNS co-hosts you know and love. But that's not all. Reaching that milestone is going to bring you a lot of cool stuff, an expanded roundtable show, DTNS labs, and more. But we need your help. Go to patreon.com/DTNS, patreon.com/DTNS, and help us out. Any amount helps. Any amount you can. Check out the cool rewards there, too. Talk to you soon.
Our email address is feedback@dailytechnewsshow.com. I'm pressing all the wrong buttons. We're live Monday through Friday, 4:30 p.m. Eastern, 20:30 UTC at alphageekradio.com and diamondclub.tv. And our website is dailytechnewsshow.com. Back on Monday with Veronica Belmont. Talk to you then.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.
Hopes you have enjoyed this program.
Oh, good show.
Nice.
Yay. That was a great show. Good.
Thank you again, Molly Wood, wherever you are.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
That was great.
That was.
Oh, that was, yeah. Really, that was so fun having Molly on. So great.
JPEG says, it's Friday. Tom presses the wrong button. That's probably true.
Yeah, really.
You know what it is?
It's that worth of work. We're done.
That Sarah Lane promo is right next to the Frog Pants Studio sting. And in my head, I think, oh, well, that's the next thing I should press. And then I like, oh, no, I need to press the thing before that. Then I just press the Sarah Lane promo again. I just need to lay this out a little better. That's all.
I'm really excited to have Sarah on the show all the time.
I know.
It's
me
be
too.
Really awesome.
We are so happen. Darn close. Yes. Where are
it
we?
It is
right
going to happen.
Second?
It is going to happen.
Yeah, we have 3 weeks left. We're exactly a week in to the month, and we just need to happen by October 1st to start it October 1st because the you know, Patreon only collects the money once a month. So timpany. Oh, we are so $3 exciting. Away from being we're $1,503 from the goal.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
Very
that's
close.
Great.
So close.
So
well, close. I'm right. Already donating. Yeah.
Titles? All right. Yes, we're all equa effed. Equa hexed. Knock on wood. Molly's back. Land drop day bomb. Kyle like knows your gear straight.
Equa
using
hexed.
Shannon's SSN. Oh, you like that one?
Equal like hacks. Equal hacks.
With the two yeah. X's.
That's a good one.
Hey, I'll vote for it.
Using Shannon's SSN. Don't give people ideas.
Well, Shannon just uses that. Darren's, I mean, so it's fine.
Right.
That's true.
Two-thirds
plus,
of a
all my
B-O-L
friends are hackers, so you really don't want to do that.
No. In fact, Jeremiah Grossman made a joke about that on Twitter, where he's like, well, good thing I've always been using, and he named another security researcher's social security number for all these years.
Anytime something bad happens, I tweet about it. And then my friends who are like they work for agencies, they're like, who messed up? Who did something to you? And I'm just like, oh, it's okay. But if somebody did like end up doxing me or something, I'd be like, here's their info.
You've got a posse. Yeah.
Have fun, FBI.
Not all my information so much. Equifax really grind Shannon's gears. Equapalypse. Amish broadband. We're all Equifaxed. Fuck.
Oh man!
Oh,
so
Roger.
Equa-
sorry.
So many good equa ones.
Just do equa hacks, and I won't say any offending words.
Oh, you were reading BioCows, weren't you?
Yes. Mm-hmm. I was reading the last one.
You have to think about what you're reading. So don't
trust BioCow.
You know what
BioCow needs to... I just read what people take in front of me.
You got Ron Burgundy to him, BioCow.
No, seriously, if you can, try to just lock down your credit report.
Well,
which is ironic,
because yes, that is good blanket advice if you only have a short amount of time to tell someone some advice. There are reasons why you wouldn't want to do that, in which case it gets more complicated. Yes. You know, say you're in the middle of buying a house, for instance. So,
well,
yeah.
So this is my experience. Yes, for things, but typically for example, let's take a house. I actively called the mortgage broker and it's like, when you're done, I'm going to call you back in 2 days. If you're done with it, I'm going to relock my credit report. And I called them. They said, we're all good. It's all been approved. And I locked it right then and there. It's really one of those things where you need to be proactive.
Well, and no, that's the thing that I'm saying is, you know, you may need to unlock it, in which case unlock it and then mm-hmm. go back and relock it.
And that will cost money to mm-hmm. unfreeze it and then re-lock it again. But it costs a lot less than having your identity stolen.
Well, it's a big, you know, ironically enough, I actually have an Equifax account. Like just credit monitoring, uh-huh. So it's part of what I shell out.
And you, so you need to be concerned. The other thing is, I know it's 143 million people, so a lot of you need to be concerned. But you know, make up your own mind. Look and see, was I affected? Check it out. Maybe even call them if you don't trust that website, which is kind of untrustworthy. And then decide, okay, if I was affected, how worried am I? What are the things I need to protect? Do I have the money to freeze it, you know, or do I take some of these other measures that Shannon was mentioning and then leave it at that? Like, everybody's going to have a different approach, but freezing it isn't ridiculously expensive, and it's the simplest thing you can do.
I will say it will save you a lot of grief, especially because I've been in circumstances where people have tried to basically open an account under my name, and that's why I started freezing my accounts. I was lucky because the store called me. Like, oh, yeah. Sure. Mainly because
Somebody opened up a Verizon account under my name, and I got a bill in the mail, and I was like, hey, guys. And then they were like, oh, somebody probably just stole your info. And I was like, that's kind of serious. Why are you just saying, oh, it's okay. It's not okay.
Oh, it's just people stealing your info. Happens every day. Yeah.
Yeah, after that, I was like, I need to start freezing it. And,
yeah, it's just...
Ironically, mine currently is not frozen because I was opening up a new account somewhere. Mm-hmm. So I was just like, great timing. Yeah. Just great timing.
Well, you can refreeze now.
Yep, I guess I'll have to.
You know, I was thinking about this breach when we were talking about one of the uses of it being the challenge questions where they're like, which of the following is an address that you previously lived at, right?
Yeah.
When I first signed up for a cell phone, so this was 2000, I think, 2001, maybe, probably 2000. No, it was 2000. I was getting a Sprint cell phone at a Radio Shack. So that tells you, right there how long ago it was.
Mine was Singular.
And yeah, I was, I think I was getting a, was I getting a, sing- no, I was getting Sprint. You're right. Never mind. So I was getting, I was signing up. And so the clerk is on the phone with the credit agency to make sure they can give me this. And they're like, what's one of your previous addresses? And I move around so often and I'm like,
yeah,
well, I don't know. Try this one. They're like, nope. I'm like, what about this one? Nope. Like, I couldn't remember all my previous addresses, so I'm not sure which one they had. It was a real pain.
I have like eight. I have eight addresses depending on what part of my life you pick.
Oh, I have way more than that.
I'm not even talking about like anything pre-2000. I just have there's a lot. And so it's just, I'm not sure if that helps or hinders me.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, I was thinking like if they get a hold of my full credit report, they probably have all those addresses right there in front of them. Like, makes it easier.
I already got my first free credit report for the year. So
what's your score?
800.
I wasn't expecting you to answer, actually.
Wow.
He's bragging.
Yeah,
as soon as he started with 800, I'm like, oh, well, I'd probably say it too if I was him.
You jerk. No, I would say I would have like 400 or something, then no one would want to.
Yeah, exactly. That's what like.
I have horrible credit. Don't try to open anything.
200? No, two. Just scores two.
Two.
Just two.
I got to log off. I have to record. All right. Pre-record a bunch of stuff.
Yeah, of course, Shannon. Go, thank you so too. Much.
Going to Bye, Disneyland everybody. Next week. Yay!
Woo, have fun.
All right, y'all take care.
Bye, Len. All right,
take care. Bye. See you later. Bye.
And then there was us, Roger Chang. Just me, yes. You, and your 180 credit score.
Yeah, yeah. You know, the thing about, hey, our credit system is so weird. Like your credit score isn't based on really how much you earn. It's no. based on how much you can, how much monthly payment you can afford to make.
How much monthly payment they believe you can handle. Because it's not even about, it's not about money or money in the bank. It's about history. Like, oh, he's generally been able to pay off things over time. So if you pay him off too soon, then that's a lower credit score because you're like, he paid it off real quick. Maybe, you know, maybe he can't sustain payments. They want people who can sustain payments for a long time. I have pretty good credit, I think. I don't know. I don't bother looking at the score anymore.
I mean, if you don't actively need to, the only reason I find credit reports good is to see if someone's opened an account under your name.
Well, that's different than credit score, though. Those are two different things.
Oh, no, yeah. No, I mean a credit report. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Where is the thing?
Well, listen, folks, we're going to let you all get back to your weekends. Thanks for hanging out with us. Hope you had a good time. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. 1 week into the Patreon for getting us so close. I feel pretty good about it. But again, if you are someone who's been thinking, oh, okay, I need to do that, just a dollar. That's all. If we get 1,500 of you pledge a dollar right now, that is like 10%, less than 10% of the audience. Boom, we're in, we're done. So thank you, thank you, thank you. There's even, you know, if you want to give more than a dollar, there's some cool perks in there as well. There's perks at a dollar. You get the pre and the post show and all that sort of thing. So have a good weekend. We'll talk to you Monday.
Woo. Bye.
And patrons, patrons, you guys already there for us. We cannot thank you enough. Go and have a lovely weekend. We'll see you Monday.